bringing you the news of Morpeth. This is the Morpeth Talking Newspaper.
Our second newspaper of the week is the Morpeth Herald for Thursday, December the 7th. And the family announcements. Carr, Joan, née Patterson, died peacefully at the Grange, Rennington, on the 25th of November, aged 92 years. Wife of George, mum to Isabel and Anthea, mother-in-law to Paul and gran of Rachel and Robert. A private cremation will take place. Gillam, Eric, Long Framlington, peacefully at Rothbury Cottage Care, with his family around him, on the 26th of November, aged 93 years. Dearly loved husband of the late Meg. A much-loved father of Sue, Peter and Judith. A loving grandfather and great-grandfather who will be sadly missed by all his family and friends. The funeral service took place at Northumberland Crematorium, Bockenfield, on Wednesday the 13th of December. Thanks to all the staff at Rothbury Cottage Care. John Irving Belford passed away peacefully on the 27th of November, aged 87 years. Beloved husband of Rita, much loved dad, granddad, great granddad, who will be sadly missed by all his family and friends. A service will take place at Northumberland Crematorium on the 14th of December. Family flowers only. Margaret Ledyard Longhurst. We are very sad to announce that on November the 28th, Margaret passed away peacefully in Wansbeck General Hospital, palliative care unit. Beloved wife of Chris, mother of Mark and Julia, sister to Barbara and grandmother of Ben and Chloe, and she will be very sadly missed. Funeral service was held at Longhurst Village Church on the 15th of December, and then at the Northumberland Woodland Crematorium, Bockenfield. No flowers. Robert Wilson Annick, peacefully at Summerhill Care Home on the 3rd of December 2023, aged 93 years. Robin, beloved husband of Mary and much loved dad of Shirley and Alan, father-in-law of Gordon and devoted grandad and great-grandad, he'll be greatly missed by all. Family and friends, please meet for the service at St. James United Reformed Church on Monday the 18th of December. Family flowers only, please. And the headlines on the front page. Children from Morpeth Pony Club have shown their caring side. Abigail Wood, Annabel Calvert, Chloe Archibald, Emma Edmondson, Florence Bell, Harriet Calvert, Isabella Hindmarsh, Isla Vickers, Lucinda Hindmarsh and Robin Routledge raised more than £1,000 by running a dog show, show jumping competition, tombola, tuck shop, raffle and cake stalls. And the district commissioner took the children shopping with the money so they could get lots of toys and gifts to give to the Mission Christmas Appeal. Good start for the Save the Pub campaign. Share offer raises £30,000 in its first few weeks. And the remainder will be caught up with later on that article. Pupil James wins tasty competition. A Ponteilan pupil will receive a tasty prize for winning a competition, and members of the public will soon be able to eat the sausage he has designed. The Geordie Banger Company sponsored the second annual Designer Banger Contest for Pelle Trust's primary schools, and all the schools put forward a range of excellent entries. Richard Bell, Pelly Trust catering manager, and Vin McDonald, owner of the business, were tasked with going through them, and they chose the Sycamore Sizzler by Darris Hall Primary School pupil James Coyne as the winner. The sausage will be made and sold by the company. Lily Dory welcomes 150,000 visitors. More than 150,000 people have already experienced the magic of Lily Dory at the Annick Garden in the 6 months since it opened. The enchanting children's play park, which cost £18.5 million and created more than 60 new jobs, was unveiled at the end of May. Since then, 34 schools across Northumberland have taken advantage of its free School Friday offer, with five more booked in before Christmas. Lily Dory was conceived by the Duchess of Northumberland, and its journey from idea to reality was featured in a Channel 4 documentary.
And now some community development news. A community campaign to save and develop a pub that stood in a Northumberland village for many years has got off to a good start. The Forge Inn, located in Uffham, has been closed for business since 2019. In the same year, it was placed on the Asset of Community Value Register with Northumberland County Council by the local parish council. After the owner informed the County Council of their intention to dispose of the asset, as per the Localism Act 2011, the fight formally started to keep the pub in local hands. There's a deadline of March 2024 for an offer to be accepted, so the Community Benefit Society of residents have put together a business plan, and this includes a share offer that has already raised £30,000 in its first few weeks. It will run till the end of December this year. If all goes to plan, the premises will become a community hub, trading as a daytime cafe and public bar, serving food from lunchtime to late evening, 7 days a week. There'd also be a small community shop. Dave Wilson, on behalf of the CBS Management Committee members, said, "We've had great support, not only from the village, but also neighbouring communities, which has been very encouraging. We've received a letter of support from our local MP, Anne-Marie Trevelyan, who's hoping to be able to schedule a visit to the pub in the new year. We've also received social media support from local county councillor David Towns." And more pub news. The Black Bull in Morpeth is up for sale. The administrators of a portfolio of pubs, including venues in Morpeth and Ashington, have appointed a firm to sell the properties. Milton Portfolio Op Co. 3, which owned Ashington's The Elephant and the Black Bull in Morpeth, entered administration in November. Avison Young and Watling Real Estate has now been appointed to market their portfolio of 25 North East and Yorkshire pubs by administrators Interpath Advisory. They will list the bars in the new year. And the administration of the British Vault, latest news. The administration of British Vault would likely be extended as final payments for the firm due in August remain unpaid. Ernst & Young selected Recharge Industries to take over the Camas firm, which wanted to build an electric car battery gigafactory in February. The Australian startup was also in the early stages of trying to start battery production on a site in Melbourne. Administration of British Vault was due to end in January 2024, but Ernst & Young wrote to creditors last week asking to extend administration of the firm for another 12 months. The statement by Ernst & Young's joint administrator said further time is required to either allow the buyer of the company's business and the majority of its assets to pay the remaining outstanding deferred consideration, or sell the remaining assets to an alternative purchaser. The statement also said that Ernst & Young was still waiting on a final claim from the redundancy payment service before it could make a final payment to creditors. MP for Wansbeck, Ian Lavery, whose constituency includes the proposed factory site, said, "The ongoing situation with British Vault is causing concern to many. This decision will do little to calm the fears of local people and unlock the obstacles to delivering the thousands of jobs they were promised."
Make a date with rescue dogs. A charity calendar featuring dogs rescued in Northumberland is now for sale, with all the proceeds going directly to three local animal charities. The calendar features 12 dogs that have been rescued by Northumberland County Council's animal welfare team and partner charities. Each dog has their backstory printed alongside their photograph. All the proceeds from the sales of the calendar will go to three local animal charities: Berwick Animal Rescue Kennels, Northumberland Greyhound Rescue, and Northumberland Dog Rescue. Fund to help warm hubs. Northern Power Grid has announced its sponsorship of 40 warm hub spaces across Northumberland to support people who may be in fuel poverty this winter. Fire Service good progress according to inspectors. Northumberland Fire Service has been showered with praise after its latest inspection report saw a marked improvement. Northumberland Fire and Rescue Service was rated good or adequate in all categories by His Majesty's Inspectorate of Constabulary and Fire and Rescue Services. This marks a significant improvement on last inspection, which was carried out in 2021. Serving up a feast of wins. Northumberland food establishments are among the recipients of the 2023 Good Food and Good Hotel Awards. Good Food Awards and their sister publication, Good Hotel Awards, are awarded to those who excel in their field with the best food quality, service and value. Blue Ribbon Women's, The Old Boathouse Amble, and Beadnell Towers Beadnell, Cafe Gold Seal Winners, Cafe Des Amis Morpeth, Chantry Tea Rooms Morpeth, Drift Cafe Cresswell, Old Stables Tea Room Annick, Fish and Chips Blue Ribbon Winners, Carlo's Annick, Fry Fair Fish and Chips Ashington, Lewis's Fish Restaurant Sea Houses, Fish and Chips Gold Seal Winners, Dillon's Fish Inn Prudder, Takeaway Blue Ribbon Winners, Creel and Real Seafood Trailer Bamborough, and the Good Hotel Award Gold Seal Winner, Langley Castle, Hexham. Three accolades for Bridge at two award ceremonies. 7 months after its grand reopening, the Union Chain Bridge connecting North Northumberland and Scotland has scooped a hat-trick of awards. Restoration of the 203-year-old structure, the oldest vehicle chain suspension bridge in the world, was completed earlier this year after every single piece was removed, checked and restored or replaced before being carefully reassembled. Now back to its former glory, the bridge and teams behind the project have been honoured with three accolades. The Georgian Group's Architectural Awards to celebrate exemplary conservation and restoration projects in the UK. The Union Chain Bridge was a joint winner of the Diaphoros Prize along restoration of the inner hall of Windsor Castle, with judges noting its unique cross-section partnership involved in the project. Days later, in the National Building and Construction Awards, the main contractor, Spencer Group, scooped gold for Restoration Project of the Year and silver for community engagement. More cash for council team call. Northumberland County Council's ruling cabinet is facing calls to increase its support for the local authority's planning enforcement team. The Communities and Place Scrutiny Committee agreed to press the cabinet for more resources at meeting last week. It followed a presentation from the Director of Planning, Rob Murfin, who admitted there were pressures on local governments. This year there have been a number of concerns raised by various councillors across the county with regard to breaches of planning, often involving large developers. White ribbon flag is proudly flown. Northumberland County Council has been flying the white ribbon flag and will continue to do so until Sunday as part of an annual campaign to end violence against women and girls. The Council and Northumberland Fire and Rescue Service have been participating in 16 days of international activism against gender-based violence since November the 25th. White Ribbon, an organisation that campaigns against domestic and gender-based violence, accredited the Council in 2021 after its published zero tolerance policy.
Now, three national awards given to local people. The first is an education award, and it's given to two former head teachers who currently come from Morpeth. They started their own business called the Harding Education Business 18 months ago, and the success of their Winning with Numbers teaching program in a short period of time was recognised with an award. It's already proving popular with primary schools, purchasing a platform license and parents buying access for their child directly. The judges said that their unique approach to teaching number fluency to children is set to make a significant difference to children's abilities to work with numbers, which is a crucial aspect for the UK's future. Also in Morpeth, a business has received a nomination for the National Award following their previous win. The Gift Pod was established in August 2020 by Joe Mercer and initially operated in Blythe in the Kielrow Shopping Centre, but it's now moved to a larger premises in Newgate Street. Joe received the Northumberland Honour at the England's Business Awards event in April 2023 at the Hilton, Newcastle, and was recently among nominations for a national award at UK Business Awards 2023. She said, "Considering I've only been going just over 2 years in Morpeth, it was phenomenal and lovely to be recognised." And once again, an honour for staff, two long-serving staff in the Wandsbeck Care Home in the Choppington area, is celebrated the dedication and service of two outstanding team members. A special presentation by the care provider running the home recently took place to mark the efforts of Angie Hurrell and Lorraine Roll over the last 25 years and 20 years, respectively. Angie, a devoted mother and partner of Edwin, joined Wandsbeck once her two eldest children reached a level of independence, drawn to the various facets of working in a care home. Her primary focus has always been to leave work knowing she's brought a smile to a resident or two, ensuring their comfort and happiness. End-of-life care holds special importance for Angie, emphasising the significance of ensuring that no one faces the end alone. Lorraine, the skilled and passionate cook at Wandsbeck, has contributed 20 years of her expertise, sharing her love for cooking and embracing the challenges enthusiastically. Her journey within the home took an unexpected turn when she temporarily undertook the role of an activity coordinator, providing her with insights into the complexities of dementia care. Married to Ray and a loving mother and grandmother, Lorraine's passion for creating diverse and enticing dishes for the home's 40 residents is evident in her daily interactions and menu planning.
National Award for Infection Control Team. A project to limit the spread of infection and keep patients safe at hospitals in Northumberland and North Tyneside has been recognised with a national accolade. Northumbria Healthcare's Infection and Prevention Control Team has been awarded a Silver IPS Impact Award for Excellence by the Infection Prevention Society for its work on the Focus project. Heather Lawson, a specialist infection prevention and control nurse for the Trust, said, "Infection prevention and control is vital to patient safety, and it's important that it's taken seriously across the organisation. All that the teams that we have worked with on the Focus project have been really keen in ensuring their standards are as high as they can be. The project has helped open up dialogues across teams and made sure that patient safety remains at the forefront of everyone's mind." There was a large Santa fun run for charity in Alnwick, and some 300 people raised funds for Wooden Spoon Northumberland, Alnwick Rugby Football Club under 11s, and other good causes. A standing ovation for a truly remarkable show, The Death of a Salesman Review. Duchess Community High School students showcased their talents in a production of the American classic Death of a Salesman. The Arthur Miller play, set in 1949, Brooklyn, and follows the tragic demise of a man named Willie Loman, who, despite all his efforts to follow the narrative of a life he believes to be respectable and correct, just can't seem to succeed. The famous story is well known and studied at A level, but spectators were able to watch with fresh eyes thanks to the Duchess's Community High School's performance. Kevvy students win National Schools title. Saturday was a truly memorable day for six athletes from the ranks of Morpeth Harriers who represented King Edward VI School at the English Schools Cross Country Cup Championship at Woodbridge School in Suffolk. After a 500-mile round trip and several years of trying, they carried off a remarkable win against the best of the nation's talent. Now all in their upper sixth form year, they were led home by Will Devere Olin, who finished fourth. The squad produced an 11-point winning margin over second place Judd School of Kent. With four to count in the scoring, support came from Joe Dixon, seventh, Liam Roche, 23rd, Ethan Phillips, 24th, and Bertie Moore, 53rd, and Ryan Davis, 79th, also competing. The Kevvy squad have won themselves a trip to Kenya in 2024, where they will have the added honour of representing their country at an international event scheduled to be staged there. Morpeth Town Football Club head into a December run of fixtures that will have a pivotal influence on their season in League and Cup. Their manager Craig Lynch says, "It's time to step up." After Tuesday's clash with Blythe Town in the Newcastle Flooring Senior Cup, the Highwaymen have six league games in 21 days, averaging a game every 3 days and starting with a trip to Workington on Saturday in the pitching NPL Premier Division.
The headline here is Council Payments to Departing Staff Referred to Police. Northumberland County Council's top legal official has confirmed that a long-running review over allegedly unlawful exit payments made to former officers is set to be referred to Northumbria Police. It marks a U-turn for the council after Finance Chief Jan Willis said her investigation had uncovered no evidence of fraud or any other form of potential criminality at July's meeting of the Council's Audit Committee. Ms. Willis branded six payments made to ex-officers, totalling over £1 million, as unlawful earlier this year. At a meeting of the committee on Wednesday, the council's monitoring officer, Stephen Gerrard, read a prepared statement that revealed the matter would be handed over to police after all. He did not take questions from members of the committee. Mr. Gerrard said, following the report to the committee on the 26th of July on the review of exit payments by the Section 151 officer, further inquiries have been undertaken and further advice has been sought on the matters identified. In consultation with the leader and other statutory officers, I have decided to refer the matter to Northumbria Police for further consideration. I have advised them I'll be taking this action and I'm currently assembling detailed relevant material. These matters inevitably take a considerable amount of time to conclude. While the matter is under consideration, I'll not be making any further comment and I would urge a similar course of conduct upon members. And now a green issue, and the headline is "The Inhaler Disposal Causes Environmental Blight." This week, green campaigner Angela Terry tackles a landfill problem. I saw a sign in the chemist saying landfill disposals of inhalers is harmful to the environment. Is that true? It's not only true, but it's a problem that's growing. If every inhaler in the UK was returned to the pharmacy who can dispose of it in an environmentally friendly way, we'd save 522,330 tons of carbon dioxide annually. That's the equivalent of a VW Golf being driven around the world 86,606 times. In fact, inhalers, often prescribed for asthma and allergies, account for approximately 3% of the entire carbon footprint of the NHS. The National Institute for Clinical Excellence suggests medicine optimization could save 202 tonnes of greenhouse gas emissions and 0.3 million metres cubed of water and 24 tonnes of waste per 100,000 of the population. The figures all point to the fact that there are definitely places where patients and NHS staff alike can make changes that could make a bigger difference to the environment. I've got a general knowledge quiz here. So I'll ask a question, I'll give you some optimum answers, and then we will do the actual answer. So, who was Director General of the BBC from 2000 to 2004? Was it A. Mark Thompson, B. Greg Dykes, or C. Sir John Burt? The answer to that one, did you get it? Was A. Mark Thompson. Who played the character Ripley in the 1979 science fiction film Alien? Was it A. Veronica Cartwright, B. Sigourney Weaver, or C. Colette Hillier?
B.
I'll give you a minute. And it was, of course, B. Sigourney Weaver. More questions later.
You finished? That's the end of our second newspaper for the week. We'll be starting the third one very shortly.
Bringing you the news of Morpeth, this is the Morpeth Talking Newspaper.